Okay, here we are. And I'm looking forward to hearing from Gary, if he knows, how much attention is being actually garnered by the utter fraud of the patsy, Mr. Robinson, and his poor drug-addled brain. And I don't mean he voluntarily drugged himself. He's being drugged. That's pretty obvious. And just as a lesson, for those of you who know, and you know you're in the minority, you realize that Lee Harvey Oswald was a hero. He was trying to interrupt the assassination. He has been photographed now. There's no doubt that he was on the steps of the book depository when the shot rang out. It wasn't Lee. He was an innocent patsy. So we have another one now. There's every one of these shootings. Parkland, if you remember some of the videos, I do. I played them. Teacher explaining what she saw down the hall, gunfire. She looked out, and there's a man in full black. It was a cop with a gun, and he was shooting people, kids. It wasn't the suspect, Cruz, who, interestingly enough, was identified allegedly walking down the street right by a synagogue. What are the chances of that? And they called the cops on him. And then we have the video to prove what I just said, which is gone, a live cast from a police helicopter circling over the Parkland secondary, it's a second story building, two or three stories, I can't remember, it was a wing. And out at the back end, a police black pickup comes up, turns around, backs up toward the building where the door was, and out of the door come two shooters dressed in all black with a gun bag, and one of the cops in the pickup walked up, grabbed the gun bag, threw it in the back, and the two cops got in the pickup, and all four of them sped away. The people taking the video from the helicopter had no idea what they were seeing. They were, I'm sure, captured by the moment. It's just another event. Cops coming out after investigating. No, those were the shooters. It's all lies. All lies. And what happened to Charlie Kirk? All lies, except for the fact that he was assassinated and he's dead, and we've shown that. I have it at the home. It's right at the top. It's succinct. It's not running pages and pages long. It's very straightforward. I've got more going up tonight. I'm going to put up a piece about Charlie Kirk's existing security company that he was doing business with. Those people who are doing the hand signaling, we're going to find out about the name of that company, etc., and much more. In other words, I'm going to also show how the shooter so easily perpetrated the crime and got away. It was a piece of cake. And I have pictures of him both at the scene shooting and then making his escape. So there are more things to go up. And yet they're talking about a .30-06. And that is ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. If you missed us last night, Gary Holland is a combat Marine veteran. He knows about these things. Gary, welcome back.
Good evening, Jeff. How's it going this evening?
It's crazy. Crazy out there.
For sure.
As we knew it would be. Nothing
so,
really new.
A new story. I don't know if you heard this story yet. I just heard this on a clip from a news program. Now they're saying that the weapon was Robinson's grandpa's, and because he said sorry to his dad for losing grandpa's rifle.
Well, that may be true, but that may be part of the patsy thing too. He didn't know what he was doing, and I don't think that was him on the roof, frankly. That guy got down off that roof like he was done it 100 times. Go ahead.
Well, the problem I have with that is that we were told for days from the police that he had bought that weapon. So it went from buying that weapon, because the question would have been then is, like, what I brought up on the program last night is that if he was indigent, because if you look at the that was a Raymond hearing on that video stream, they assigned him a public defender because he's indigent, meaning he was basically at the level of a homeless guy, right? Had no income, to qualify for indigency in a court to get a public defender, you have to be pretty much a bum. You have to be broke, not able to afford a lawyer for your own defense. And so with that being the case, people rightfully so would have started questioning, well, how could he afford such a high-priced rifle if he had no income? So which now the news story changed to, well, he said sorry to his dad for losing his grandpa's gun. I don't know how true that is. I mean, I know for sure that when they took a picture of that as evidence, that became a rifle that I seen. It looked like it was brand new out of the box. As a matter of fact, it was out of the box. It was literally sitting in a box when they said they found it.
And that looked like the actual sales box, didn't it? It looks like
exactly.
it came right out of that box.
And the story changed on that even, because they said, well, we found it. He wrapped it in a towel and ditched it in the woods. But when they put the evidence photo out, then it was a rifle brand new, shiny, fresh. Mm-hmm. Look, it's
Grandpa's
scratches on that.
Grandpa's brand new rifle. I got it.
If it was Grandpa's rifle, it would be a hunting rifle. I get it. Okay. But you would see a few flaws on it, some scratches.
Sure, sure.
You know, look, it's just, you know, you use it,
yeah.
That's the way it works. You know, especially
right.
hunting. Go through the
right.
woods, you know,
of
you're
course.
Setting it down, whatever you're doing. And,
yeah.
and that looks like it's brand new. So you have a brand new looking rifle out of a pretty much like a shipping box. And they don't explain why wasn't he, when he was up on the roof, where was the shipping box he was carrying, right? Because that shipping box was a tan shipping box.
Cardboard.
No, they don't explain.
They don't explain
yeah. where he hid the box. It went from wrapping it in a towel, ditching it in the woods, to they found it in the woods inside of a box. Then they said, well, he took the barrel off, and then he reassembled it.
He didn't.
When he
do
went
any
to the woods,
this is
very similar. If you remember what happened. Let's go back to the Las Vegas massacre. Every day there was a press conference, the story kept changing. They kept adjusting the story to what
right.
they would listen to programs like this and other programs. They would listen to on media, and they would listen to what they would have guests on as, you know, experts or people commenting, saying, well,
uh-huh.
they'd start questioning, well, it didn't make sense about this, didn't make sense about that. And then the next day they'd have a press conference, and the story would change all of a sudden to fit what people were questioning. And this is the same exact scenario here. We're talking, all the stories keep changing. They're changing the story, adjusting it by the hour to fit what people, how people are questioning this.
Exactly right. Yeah, is it still a Mauser,
no,
or is it a Remington 700? You know, what
I
are they saying?
No, I've not read anything yet about they might change it all together again. I mean,
okay.
Who knows?
Yeah, at this
point,
go ahead.
The thing is, when you see these stories changing, well, and here's the difference between during the time when when they framed Lee Harvey Oswald, right, and Jack
uh-huh.
Rubenstein shot him. Now, I always use his correct name. Everyone tries to use Jack Ruby, and they keep using Jack Ruby, Jack Ruby, Jack Ruby to give a patsy-sounding name to him. But he wasn't. His name was Jack Rubenstein. So realize that's his real true name. But back then, they didn't have the type, you know, you had print media, newspapers, and the three major televisions. So they could just give you a story, and there was no need to change it. As when the Las Vegas massacre happened, that was in 2017, where we had the smartphone, we had, you know, all these, you know, we had pretty much what you have now, maybe a few more newer things now, but you still had pretty much what you have today in 2017. So information was coming in real time, right? So, like, if they would say something on a press conference, within an hour, you had 30 YouTube channels or more than that, multiple YouTube videos up. And then back then it was Twitter, and then you went up on Twitter, and there was people already challenging their story from the current press conference. So they had to step up their game, and this is like a information battle. And when they hear now they got it's all set because they have AI to do all the work for them now. And so when they put out a story or a press conference and they bring out information about this guy, and when people start questioning it online through the comment sections, through X, through all the different social media platforms, AI scans, they comb over everything within a split second, and they probably flag keywords and basically does a statistical chart and see, and they look at what's working and what's not working, and what isn't working, they will adjust the story to when it to make it fit what people are questioning. I honestly think they are doing this, especially this time with this guy, because the story has changed a bunch of times, and when you flood the system with so much disinfo, with so much information, like you can't remember what was told 2 days ago. I mean, how many stories have came out about this guy? How many stories have came out about the relationship with the transsexual? The transsexual network of six different accounts that were predicting this to happen before it happened. All these different things. And the information is being thrown out there. Probably, I'd say 50, 60% of the people don't even remember what they were talking about within the first 24 hours after Charlie got shot, right? How many people are remembering that, I said, that when they had claimed, well, we found the weapon 2 hours or 3 hours after Charlie had been shot, and he was wrapped in a towel ditched in the woods, right?
Yeah, two
or 3 days later, they're releasing all this mm-hmm. photo evidence, and it's a brand-new rifle sitting in a shipping box. And no one remembered from that, prior 2 days before that, they had claimed to have been wrapped in the towel.
No,
where's the towel that they claimed?
Mm.
Where is this towel?
No towel.
Still,
no towel.
They're never, they don't produce the towel.
No.
Again, they were saying he bought it. That was on multiple channels.
Mm-hmm.
They had confirmed that he had bought the weapon. Now it mm-hmm. went from buying it to now it's grandpa's. Mm-hmm. See how this
That's
works.
Funny. I hadn't heard that one yet. That's funny. Yeah, good. All right, here, let me do this.
Because they made it a point. This guy, it was a guest on, I think it was on CNN, and mm-hmm. he made it a point to saying, well, he has emotional, first of all, Montel Williams, for the life of me, I understand he's selling the fake story. Get it. Now, say this story was true.
Is Montel Williams still on the air somewhere?
They had him as a guest on CNN the other night.
Oh, okay.
And they're saying the reason why. Now, we know the reality of this. We know that Robinson has nothing to do with it. But just say Robinson really did. They're using the narrative that he's been steeped in leftist ideology. Obviously, he was dating a transsexual who I believe was an FBI informant, and he wasn't dating a transsexual more than he was dating his handler, because more of that would be that's who was handling him, professionally managed. Obviously, this Patsy was professionally managed. We can agree on that. There was professional, he was dealing with professionals, and they were steering him into the directions they needed him to go into. But Montel Williams said, well, the reason why he did it, because he was a lovesick boy he fell in love, and it was a love story, and to show his love for the boyfriend or the transitioning boyfriend, that's why he killed Charlie Kirk. That's what Montel Williams claimed. And he said, you could tell that because this is where I got that information from. He said, as you said, because apparently it must have been a confirmed story at that, or changed story to the script. Because he even said, well, yeah, because he had emotional problems because he didn't think he did anything wrong. And he said sorry to his dad because he lost grandpa's gun. That's where that story where I've learned from, that now they're claiming that the weapon with you, the rifle that you've seen on the picture, is now grandpa's rifle.
Well,
and they're just in the story to because people are questioning if he's
that's
broke,
the third or fourth
how did he buy
turn.
A weapon?
Third or fourth turn in the road. The narrative case, like a windy road. Okay, let me do this real quick. It fits in. The 30-06 part of the story is every bit as absurd as it could possibly be. I'm going to play the sound of the shot as recorded right up in front of Charlie Kirk. The sound of the shot. I'm going to compare this with the sound of a 30-06 from 200 yards, by the way. Also remember, the 30-06 is a sonic round, so it goes above the speed of sound. The round that shot Charlie was subsonic. And we know that. All right, so here's the sound. It's running in four. It's a loop, four times of what was actually shot at the front of the crowd. Okay. Click, choo, click, choo. All right, here's a 30-06 from 200 yards. Got the difference? And a 30-06 round, you're a combat veteran. What would that have done to his neck if it had hit him in the neck? Hypersonic.
Like I said, and realize, too, the lead spreads as it's traveling. So by the time it would have hit him, it would have literally tore pretty much three-quarters of his neck out. It would have blew his neck out, and it would have blew. The black-shirted, tall guy standing behind him, who was, I guess, one of his security, would have been hit himself.
Oh, yeah.
He was directly behind him. So he would have been hit up in the chest area. Because Charlie's neck was pretty much where he was sitting. This guy was standing behind him, would have been around lower chest, upper stomach level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he would have been hit right in that area. And he wasn't.
Right.
Meaning
all
it's
right.
a small
now,
caliber.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, I wrote that on the 13th. It was a very small caliber. It's up there in headlines. That's 4 days ago? Whatever. All right. Now, I've been doing some research into Charlie Kirk's security team. Who is his security team? Now, follow this is very interesting because we don't know. All right. Now, I just put up a story. Thank you, Todd, for getting this put on a page, and it's up now. You can read it at the top of the page right under the actual video. It's one of three stories. There'll be another story going up there as well. I'm doing one on how easily the killer escaped. It was just, this was really, I hate to use the term, but it was ingenious, the whole thing. Very clever. All right, Charlie Kirk's security team. It remains secret. Now, some of you have heard the name of Greg Haffer. H-A-F-F-E-R. Greg Haffer. Schaffer. I left the S off. It's like Schaefer, but it's not. It's Schaffer. Like Schafferman, Schafferberg, Schafferfield, whatever. All right, we'll get that to a minute. But the Schaffer Security Group did provide security for Charlie from 2015 to 2022. It's a true story. All right, let me read this. So far, no one seems to know the name of Charlie Kirk's current security team. We were able to find this. I spent a lot of time looking into this. Greg Schaffer, founder and CEO of Schaffer Security Group, which provided security details for Kirk and his conservative youth group, Turning Point USA, from 2015 to 2022, said guarding this kind of event and this threat would have been challenging for any private security team. Now keep in mind, he has not provided security for Charlie since 2022. That's what he's saying. It's the formal party line. You know, I wrote after that, and I went to AI, two different AIs. Not even AI can or will answer the question, what is the name of Charlie Kirk's current security team? I went to ChatGPT-5 first, and GPT-5 failed or refused to name the current security firm. ChatGPT-5 said on the first attempt that I asked, quote, I was not able to locate credible information identifying the specific name of the private security firm currently or most recently employed by Charlie Kirk. That's what AI said. News reports describe that he had a personal security detail, about 5 to 6 people, and that former security for him was managed by Greg Schaffer's firm until 2022. And I said, that's not good enough. Take a deeper dive. So I sent that back to GPT-5. And it came back with this. This is its deepest dive. Short answer, there isn't a verified public name for a current security firm protecting Charlie Kirk. No protection. No verified public name for a current security firm protecting Charlie Kirk. Recent reporting, said GPT-5, after his September 10th killing, says he traveled with a small private detail, about 5 or 6 people, while venue and campus police handled the outer layers of security. But none of these reports name a present-day firm. What is documented, said GPT-5, is his former arrangement. Greg Schaffer's Schaffer Security Group oversaw Kirk TPT USA security from 2015 to 2022. After that, outlets describe an unnamed and in-house private team, not a specific contractor. If you've seen a claim naming a firm, share it, and I'll vet it against primary sources. That's what GPT-5 told me. I then went to Google AI, which actually refused to even accept the question. So there you go. There's AI. Now, what is the name Schaffer? Schaffer. This guy provided him. It's hard to imagine he's completely out of it, but he claims to be. What does the name Schaffer mean? What does it mean? It comes back that the Schaffer name meaning derives from South German and Jewish Ashkenazic Schaffer, S-C-H-A-F-F-E-R. It's a variant of Schaefer. Compare Schaefer, Schaffer, and then Schaffer again. So it's Jewish. This is a Jewish security group. It's not a surprise to anybody. And I went to their site, pulled up a few things. The Schaffer Security Group, quote, we protect our clients, end quote. And it's SchafferSecurityGroup.com if you want to go look. The Active Shooter Prevention Project from Schaffer Security says, the Active Shooter Prevention Project, ASPP, aims to make all public locations, including schools and houses of worship, safe from active shooters and domestic terrorism. It's time we live without worry. Well, good luck. And then I found an Instagram post offering more data on security, but nothing of any specificity. So my guess is this group of 5 to 6 people was maybe offered by Israel to come in and take over security maybe 2-3 years ago. I don't know. But we don't have names. We don't know who these people are. We have no name of a private security contractor at all. And there's where we are.
As a matter of fact, I just went on Google, and I was doing while you were explain what you when you looked in Charlie Kirk's background with his security firm. I went to and looked to see if maybe it was TPUSA that was providing the security, and you cannot find any names either attached to TPUSA who's doing the security for the which. You know, no. It could have been maybe, you know, well, he went from having his own private detail directly hired, or not hired by him, but
contracted,
provided directly to him. So the contract might have been between him at the time and his contractors. Then it went from that to TPUSA providing security. Well, there's no record of anything. When you put Turning Point USA security contractor that provides security, there's nothing that comes up. And it would make sense because, like I said, who provided $80 million was, they're also going to provide their security. They would protect their investment. And look, it is what it is. When you give someone $80 million, that's an investment. That's not like, well, here's $80 million. No, I mean, how many people in your life will give you $80 million just because?
No, that's a purchase.
Not gonna do
that. They bought an entire movement, an organization, a control matrix for this entire generation of young people coming up. Gen Z, out of college, and they were going to really try to tie them all down. This was a huge investment for them in the immediate future.
And it's not just cash.
I mean, the international Zionists. Yeah.
They provided Zionist support. Like what? Well, so-called right-wing media, which he was constantly in full rotation all the time on, podcasts, the top, top 20 podcasts all the time. He rotated in and out of all the time. He was on the who's who of where to get your face out there, right? And
right.
So, and he was getting heavily promoted on the right, on the, so-called alt-right, which is all we have, as we could, admit now and agree to, that alt-right media is just basically the new mainstream media 2.0 or 3.0 now at this point. And so, so it's just a new version of mainstream media, and he was getting the push everywheres. Not just like, I mean, there's not one place you couldn't go on YouTube without seeing a Charlie Kirk clip of him talking to college kids, him at a conference. That type of promotion doesn't happen naturally. I people can say what they want and they can argue against that, but it's the fact is he just didn't get $80 million from the Zionists. He had their whole marketing and promoting team behind them too. The power that people don't realize, the power that is when they control 99% of the online social media platforms, when they control 99% of the online media, they still about 100% of the old school, cable media or broadcast media, right? He was even on the old broadcast channels all the time. And he was constantly getting, positive promoting. And yeah, some of it was negative, but that was, I would believe, a lot of that was manufactured, right? So he's this, he's that. That's all about, that's all about the part of the promotion for his street cred. He was getting massive. He had the full backing of World Zionism, and it was like a wind, to the back of a sail, and he flew. But the problem is, when you try to turn that sail, right, and you try to turn that sail against the wind, what happens to the boat? It capsizes. And he capsized. Why? Because I believe he probably had a spiritual, reckoning. Obviously, he was a true believer. I'm not doubting his belief in Christianity. I think he was a true believer in Christianity. I think what happened was, he was reported by, I'm just going what Candace Owens is claiming. He was at the last stages of being confirmed Catholic, which he was probably being educated by some in that realm about that Christian Zionism isn't what it's all cracked up to be. Because if you notice, most Christian Zionists are evangelical Christians, right? And so they were probably educating him on certain things, and he started, look, he started having internal conflict. And then he figured in also at the same time, while he's having them internal spiritual conflicts, his audience is starting to abandon him, especially when it came to that. Because what happens is when you have something as that big of a fissure, right, which is a big issue, the Gaza mass killing, let's face what it is, it's just mass murder. I mean, just going in and it's just a slaughterhouse. They're going in there and slaughtering people. I'm not going to listen to this nonsense where you have these people online saying, oh, no, it's, you know, it's righteous, and they're trying to justify, and you know it's not really happening, and do you know that the IDF is bringing box lunches in and making them sound like they're like just a bunch of benevolent guys walking through and handing out, you know, box lunches and doing this and doing that. They're not doing that. They're going into Gaza, massively blown up buildings with people in them. I could just imagine how many Willie Peets they've dropped since this started. I mean, this and people don't understand that. That's just basically fire from the sky, white phosphorus. It burns everything to the ground, burns you alive, turns you into ashes. And it's a horrible death. And they're doing that on a continuous basis, day in, day out, day in, day out. And you're not getting any positive reporting from what's going on inside of Gaza.
Right.
The ones who
right.
try to report on that get assassinated.
So oh, yeah, they killed almost 300 journalists in there. No,
just,
almost
300. And the only journalists allowed to stay alive is presenting their side of the story.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yep.
when his audience, who are Gen Z, younger generations, who wasn't, like I explained the other night, like my generation, where I went to school during all my years, it was just nonstop pro-Israeli propaganda. It was always feel the Holocaust drilled into your head every school year. Well, that wasn't happening anymore. Even if it is, the Gen Zers and the young millennials not even paying attention in school anymore. They don't even know. They probably couldn't even point Israel out on a map.
Right.
But the
okay.
point is, they're not buying into that story anymore, and they were giving him. Remember, Candace Owens even referred to this as that he was losing at least 50. Now she claims about 50% of his mm-hmm. following did not
yeah.
agree with his stance, what he was promoting for Israel, and I think he went to the powers that be, right? And you know, I could, mm-hmm. you know, and they say he said
his paymasters.
His paymasters, yes, his bosses. He went to his bosses and said, hey, boss, you know, this is what's going on. I have a spiritual problem with what you guys are doing. You know, he tried to soft. I'm sure he didn't go in there hard-ass and hard-nosed about it. He probably tried to talk reasonable with them, which you can't do, but he tried it at least. He tried to say it in a nice but way, hey, let's try it this way. Let me set this message. And Netanyahu was having nothing of it. Neither was Bill Ackman. They said, here's what you're going to do. Not only are you going to keep on with the message we want you to keep on,
you're going to double down on it. Yeah.
We're going to give you tons of more money. We're going to put a big promotion, way more promotion machines on with behind TPUSA. As a matter of fact, we're going to be so nice and nice to you, and we're going to make it a little bit easier, and we're going to pick up the slack for you. We're going to add about 3 or 4 guest speakers to talk pro-Zionist propaganda,
right.
And it'll just be a propaganda.
They're going to stack the deck. Yes, I agree. Let me, we're running a little short. I want to play a little clip from Michael Yon. Now, a lot of people know who Michael Yon is. He calls himself a war analyst and an author. That's fine. He's somewhat controversial, but generally comes down on the side of reason and logic. Let's find out what he has to say about this. I've listened to it. It's pretty good. There's two little parts I want to play. And, Gary, you'll like the first one, especially.
He's a millionaire. He's look at his home. You know, photos of his mansions have been put online. I mean, the guy was very, very wealthy, Charlie Kirk. He was taking the money from him and from the Zionists, and he was championing their cause, right? Alongside, for a time, people like Ben Shapiro, right? The base in the United States is turning against the Zionists. That's clear. And now they're getting panicked. And they're panicked. And like Charlie Kirk was a major force, a major influencer that they built up. And then Pinocchio starts getting a mind of his own. What would you do with that? You can't let that guy who knows so much and who has so much influence, you can't just start arguing with him. That'll make that side even stronger, right? So how are you going to treat this? They must have had, you know, a decision cycle of should we do it quietly? Should we do it, you know? I mean, allegedly Netanyahu offered him money directly and he didn't take it apparently. I don't know what's true or what's not. But I know how they operate. That's definitely how they would have done it. They would have offered money. It would have been silver or lead, which is the oldest thing in the book, you know? You know, that didn't just come from Pablo Escobar. That's an old thing. You can take my silver or you can take my lead. You can take my gold or you can take the sword on your neck, right? And so that's it. And so he apparently did not take that. He'd been taking it for years. And now he knows all the inside scoop. He's next to President Trump. You know, they're that close. And keep in mind, this is all part of the same ecosystem. These aren't disparate parts. I mean, they're at the same parties. They're in the same offices. They're flying on the same jets together. We've been fooled on 9/11. We've been fooled on the USS Liberty. We've been fooled on October 7th. That was a clear staked goat and green flag attack. We've been fooled on the death jabs after the October 7th event. They the murder of more than 1,000 Israelis, clearly sponsored by the Zionists, clearly using the patsy as Hamas, right? They needed those hostages as casus belli, cause for war, to clear Gaza, right? There's a lot of gas off Gaza, huge amount of wealth in Gaza, and they want Suez Canal. Eventually, Egypt's going to be in war, right? That's clear, because eventually, they're going to make it go for the Suez Canal. I don't know if it's in 1 year or 15 years or 20 years. Eventually, somebody's going for that canal.
What they're talking about here is a second Suez Canal that would end up going basically right through Gaza. That's one of the reasons they want it cleared. All right, let's go back.
That's just the way these things go. Likewise with Panama, right? That's why I spend so much time there, right?
Michael, great to have you.
Okay. It's got to get to one part here.
It's been going on around the world.
All right.
Thanks for having me on. I'm in Thailand now for meetings.
All right. I got to get up to this point where he makes it really a good statement here.
The situation, obviously, that occurred with Charlie Kirk, obvious assassination. Well, I don't know if he's dead or alive. I think he's probably dead, but who knows? Because we know that we're lied to 24/7, and we know that we're being lied to by people that are expert at lying. And even they lie so boldly, like in professional wrestling, that it doesn't, for the vast majority of people,
He gets it.
It doesn't have to be objectively, obviously true. They just need a lie that's good enough to make them feel good about going, okay, I can believe you because you've told a good enough lie, even though it's obviously fake, like professional wrestling, kayfabe, you know, which Trump is deeply into.
Okay, so there you go, Gary. There's your wrestling analogy. You've said that many, many times, and you're correct.
You just got to get people to believe, make it believable. That's what you need to do. And I can't, there's not one thing he said that I disagree with. The only thing I would say a little bit different is that he mentioned Hamas. What he should have mentioned about Hamas is, and I can't believe people don't mention this. Hamas was founded by the U.S. and Israeli governments. They were put in as a political power against Yasser Arafat. They were created by Israel and the United States, or we should say Israel, you know, and ordering the United States, right? And so when you create something, you never lose control of it. Just like Al-Qaeda, which was basically the Mujahideen, that they changed names and rebranded, and then they rebranded to ISIS. All these organizations are all CIA, Mossad controlled, and they never lost control of them. They just use them when they need to, and they put the tool. Like, when was the last time you heard the word ISIS or Al Qaeda? Well, you haven't in a while. Where are they? Well, they're inside the toolbox, right? They're sitting
back
in storage on the shelf.
That's right.
Yeah, they're on the shelf in the toolbox. And when they need that tool, they'll pull the box out. They'll open the lid and pull that tool right back out again. But for right now, we got Hamas. And so it's all Hamas is the boogeyman. And then, but the main leadership of Hamas is all living in very luxurious palaces in other countries, not even near Gaza whatsoever. And so you have all these people running through telling stories about, oh, it's this, it's that, and you know, oh, it's this and that. And then people get confused. But as long as they tell, they keep the storyline going in a good direction and make it sound believable, people will fall for it.
And
that's what they do.
Right.
It happens every single time.
Okay. Hold on. I'm going to go back to Michael Yon. I agree with everything you said earlier. He nailed it. He really got it down. He understood. He laid it out there. So if you can, go listen to this program again. Listen to that part. Here's another little section from Michael Yon, which is more relevant even than perhaps the first section. Let's see.
So anybody that's trying to fool us is our enemy. And likewise, you can see what's happening now with the Kirk, whatever happened, right? The Charlie Kirk assassination or the Charlie Kirk, whatever it was. And so the people that are doing this, now again, we don't have time. I see people now blaming the Chinese. They're blaming the Russians. They're blaming the Iranians. They're blaming Hamas. They're blaming everybody except the obvious ones who did it. And again, we got to get right down. We don't have time for, you know, you got to have objective proof. We know Trump is a Zionist, straight up. We know Charlie Kirk was taking money from Zionists since he was very young. We know that they groom people to act these roles. We know that. That's just a fact of life. We know it. We don't have to continue to. In fact, those who accuse us of anti-Judaism and anti-Semitism, anytime we point out the obvious, are committing blood libel. Anytime somebody accuses us of anti-Semitism, anti-Judaism, for pointing out what the Zionists are doing, and most of the Zionists in America seem to be actually Christians. They actually seem to be Christians. And the leadership of the Zionists in Israel are mostly atheists, right? Like Netanyahu, he's a straight-up atheist. And so, you know, his name, by the way, was Meliakovsky. Same as the guy in Argentina, Meliakovsky, right? Mele in Argentina, his name was Meliakovsky. Netanyahu's name was Meliakovsky. Maybe they are cousins, I don't know. But the bottom line is, they come from the same tribe, and anytime that you call them out, they say blood libel. And remember, when they use the term blood libel, they mean, I am now authorized to kill you. When they use that term, blood libel is the highest crime in their cult, right? There's no crime higher than that, than blood libel. It's the highest crime, right? So when they say, you're pointing out that the Zionists, who are not, Zionism is not even Judaism, but when they point that out, that's actual blood libel, and they're saying, I can now kill you, right? Now look, Charlie Kirk, he committed, in their eyes, the greatest sin of all, blood libel, right? Because he took, first of all, he took their money for years. He didn't build that organization up from scratch. He didn't do it. And he wasn't living poor. I get all these messages how poor he was living, like a monk, you know, sacrificing into martyrdom to, you know, to rescue everybody. He's a millionaire. He's look at his home. You know, photos of his mansions have been put online. I mean, the guy was very, very wealthy, Charlie Kirk. He was taking the money from him and from the Zionists. And he was championing their cause, right, alongside, for a time, people like Ben Shapiro, right? And these are all lifted up. They're called talents, and they're called, once they're actually bought and owned, they're called properties. They're actually called properties. You don't hear this publicly, but I hear it because I've been behind the scenes on this for years, or back in the old days, right? I never took the money. The people that didn't take the money don't have big followers. They don't have big readers because we're mitigated. We're pushed into the shadows. The people that are going to take the money usually take it immediately, right? They take it right off the bat. If somebody's offering money, they start negotiating price, right? The people that aren't going to take the money, they don't take it. If they don't take it immediately, if they don't take the money immediately, they never take the money. That's a good That's a good judge on. And so when the people are, whether it's Zionists or anybody else who are trying to buy people, you know, on the mice spectrum, when you're buying counterintelligence, you're hiring, you know, spies or whatever, you use MICE, money, ideology, coercion, ego. That's the acronym, right? Money, ideology, those who are going to take the M part, money, you offer money, they're either going to take it immediately or they're going to start negotiating price, right? Then they know that's perfect. They got you, right? They know you're going to take at least one of the cheeses. Well, Charlie Kirk, he was very young. So he was very young when he started off down this route. So it's good to get them young because, first of all, you can mold them the way that you want them. That's how it works. Played it like Play-Doh, right? And they use dough. And not only that, but you've got them for life, right? You can raise them up the way you want them, like a bonsai tree, right? They've shaped exactly how you want them. They all the talking points that you want. Well, sometimes in the counterintelligence world and even in the business world, sometimes a business leader has a protege or somebody that's their best assistant, and that best assistant really eventually wants to take your organization, right? That's what it's really about often, right? They have a life of their own, like Pinocchio wants to become a real boy. Likewise, in the counterintelligence world, sometimes an agent, if you ask these case, you know, the case officers for CIA or whatever, they'll talk about, you know, their sources who suddenly get a life of their own and want to, you know, sort of take charge of what's going on. So then the case officer has to determine, well, how am I going to deal with this guy? Are we going to just try to keep him in the corral, keep him on the plantation? Are we going to just stop paying him? Are we going to go ahead and burn him? Are we going to actually kill him, right, you know? And with Charlie Kirk, now think about it from the Charlie Kirk position. They got him early when he had no immune system to this sort of stuff. Next thing you know, he's living a very serious lifestyle, right? I mean, he's married to a beauty queen that, you know, was associated with Trump on the beauty queen circuit, that sort of thing, right? I mean, the next thing you know, he's in the ecosystem. Lots of money, lots of on the mice, you know, they've got the money, right? And the ideology, he seems to be aligned on that. Coercion, I don't know if they had it, but ego, he had an ego. So of the four major cheeses, at least three cheeses were there with Charlie, right?
Okay. I think we all can agree with most everything Michael Yon just said. He's very pragmatic. He's speaking truth about things that are never going to appear in the mainstream media. But Michael knows. I've always had respect for him, and I thought he stated that very eloquently. Gary, can you stay on for the next hour?
Sure, I can do that.
But what I'd like to do is go through, and I'm writing a paper on this, an article, the entire escape of the brown shirt man. I think it's very interesting, and it ties into a number of things, so we can do that next hour. What did you think about what Michael Yon said?
I've heard him in the past, and he's said similar things, and anything he has said, can anyone challenge anything he said? There's nothing in any of what he explained, how it works, that you could say, well, no, I don't think it was that, I don't think it's that, because you can't. Because everything comes out of the wash eventually, and you're going to find out about Charlie Kirk, which he was. I mean, look, he took money at a very young age, like he said, and he lived a very, very nice luxury lifestyle. He was flying on private jets from
top of the line
event, the line travel, you know, got the whole, you know, nine, you know, the big treatment, which is why he was where he's at. And this is why in death they martyred him. Now they're going to, like a bonsai tree, like Michael Yon said, now they're going to shape
His legacy is going to be
pure pro. Like he's not even just be an Uber Zionist. It's going to be like mega Uber Zionist.
Well, he's going to be in the Valhalla of Zionism. They're going to make him a spiritual savior.
And no story will ever come out about the reality what he was doing towards the end of his life.
No.
Candace Owens is already being attacked as a leftist, as a black racist. I don't know why, anti-Semite. Anyone who says that Israel, this is claims that multiple online platforms, channels, and influencers, whatever you want to call these people, are saying now. Well, if you're saying Israel did it, that means you're a leftist and you're just trying to deflect from the leftist ideology that Robinson is that was addicted to, and you're crapping on the memory of Charlie Kirk, and it just goes in, and it's shaming. And see, it works perfect. Again, if you have the marketing machine and the promoting and the messaging machine and the propaganda machine behind you, so now anyone who mentions the truth, well, you're just a leftist. You're a communist. You're part of them Gaza people. See, and it's all going to connect into the Gaza protesters, which there you're going to be now, as if you're a follower of the Charlie Kirk, ethos, and if you're in his organization, and with all the people saying we're all Charlie Kirk now. Well, if we are all Charlie Kirk now, you have to be a Zionist. You have to be totally against anyone who says anything bad about Israel's mass killing.
Don't forget one thing. We have to pause, Gary. Well, don't forget one thing, though. When you are a Zionist, you are supporting mass genocide of men, women, and children. You are de facto supporting it, period. You're supporting the shooting of little children in the head, which happens almost daily over there. These are sick, psychotic people, if they're people at all. People don't do that to other people. Anyhow, you're a Zionist. You're a supporter of global genocide, certainly in the Middle East, at least, but I think it's going to go far beyond that. It's already underway. Okay, hold on. We'll come back with much more in another hour as we continue right here for you.